Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm Adam Roloff, one of the reference librarians at Southern Illinois University School of Medicine Medical Library, and this is Sounding Query. If you're listening to this, this is part two of our series on the social determinants of health and the efforts of the Southern Illinois University Department of Population Science and Policy to combat and work to overcome those issues. In episode one, we met TJ Albers and Christopher Rodriguez from the department and got a little introduction to them and the role of the department. In this episode, as I said, we'll find out more about our topic. So can you kind of give us an overview of what social determinants of health are, and then we'll kind of start moving from there?
Yeah, sure. So social determinants of health, it's in the most general sense, everything that happens outside of, you know, the 10 to 15 minutes you spend in the doctor's office. Which makes up a much, much greater percentage of your overall health and well-being. You know, we think, hey, if we go to the doctor's office, we get prescribed a pill, whatever it may be, we're good to go. You know, everything's fine. But instead of, you know, putting a Band-Aid over something, we, at our department, we, you know, obviously focus on social determinants of health. We look for those upstream solutions to, you know, kind of go to the source of the problem, and whether that may be, you know, economic instability in the community, whether that be the environment, the neighborhood that they live in, if it's, you know, if a community is struggling with obesity or diabetes, whatever it may be, and we look and we see, oh, well, they have high rates of crime, or something as simple as they don't have paved sidewalks, you know, the kids don't want to, the parents don't want their kids out at night because it's unsafe. You know, education, we know that generally people with higher levels of education tend to be healthier, tend to make more money. Not, you know, it's not true in all cases, but as a general principle, we know that. Food access, you know, nutrition is incredibly important, as everybody knows. And if you don't have, you know, access to healthy foods, you know, if it's like in a lot of rural communities, if it's either the Casey's, you know, pizza up the street, or, you know, we go to Dollar General and try and find something, not a lot of nutrition options for people to choose from. And then finally, you know, I think one thing that the other thing we see in a lot of communities and of varying levels is just the social capital or cohesion in that community. You know, like, are they, is there a lot of interconnectedness where people are going out and, you know, the Friday night football game at the high school, it's packed. And, you know, you see people doing all kinds of, you know, community events together, or is it more of, you know, everybody kind of keeps to themselves, and it's, you know, that sense of people tend to be a little, mental health tends to be a little better when you're more community driven. And, you know, that would be, you know, I think the layman's terms of social determinants of, you know, just kind of that everything outside the doctor's office being so vitally important to your health.
And in, because I think your focus is on Southern and rural Illinois, do a lot of communities that you've seen in Southern and rural Illinois have a lot of social determinants of health?
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing is, so our 66 county Central and Southern Illinois service region, it's a little over 2 million people, and what we see is, you know, urban and rural counties have a lot of the same problems or barriers facing them, but, you know, you wouldn't think that. You wouldn't think transportation is a problem in urban counties. It is. You know, it may not be, oh, I have hour and a half drive to the doctor, but it's, you know, the bus service is unreliable, or we don't have a car because we don't need one. You know, we can walk everywhere. We can walk to the grocery store, walk to work, to school. So that's one of the interesting things. And I think in rural communities, being somebody who's born and raised really in Springfield, seeing a lot of rural communities and what they face, it's interesting the overlap between them. But like you said, you know, the social determinants that people in rural communities are facing are very real. And I think the good thing is in public discourse, it's kind of gaining traction, the almost the popularity of, you know, fixing rural America.
Yeah, we have a lot of rural communities in, you know, central southern Illinois. A lot of our focus is around the rural communities, although we do have some urban communities as well. And so it's not, you know, we tend to focus on all of them within our region because, you know, there's a lot of similarities with the issues that they face. And so, we mentioned transportation. Springfield has a bus system. I'm not that familiar with it. I'm not a Springfield local. So I do know that there is a bus system, but does it work, you know, 24/7? Is it easily accessible? Is there bus stops in every neighborhood? How far does that bus service extend outside of Springfield? Or, you know, can people that don't live in Springfield access this bus system from their neighborhood, you know, to get into the local city? And so it's those issues that kind of affect both urban areas in central southern Illinois as well as the rural areas. Rural areas don't have bus services like this. So, you know, their bus service may be just the Greyhound bus that goes from their city to the next largest city, and that may be the only system that they have. They may have to walk 30 minutes somewhere if they don't have a vehicle because they don't have a bus service or taxi service that's reliable. And so, you know, those affect an individual's health, and those are things that we like to look at and say, well, what can be done in that situation that can help the community achieve their goal of improving their health? And, you know, transportation is one. Economic stability is another one. Are there good jobs for the community to have in the area that aren't requiring them to travel 30 minutes to an hour outside of their town just to get, you know, a decent job? What can we do to build up that economic stability in that community? Education, I mean, that's something that we like to focus on, making sure that, you know, the youth in the community have a good educational system. You know, we want to make sure that they're getting the most out of the educational system that they have and that they benefit from all of that. But also, what are the opportunities for after K-12 education? Is there opportunities to continue that through community college, or what are the partnerships around with the universities? And so I know we have multiple universities in the state, and there's a lot of different programs that each university has. And so those are things that we look at too. You know, is there a way that they can build themselves up by continuing that process, you know, going through higher education? Social determinants of health, it's just something that is constantly around every single person, every community. It's all of the external factors that take place outside of the doctor's office, as TJ said, you know, outside of the 15 minutes that you spend. You know, you may get a prescription for a medication to help your high blood pressure, but can you afford that medication? Do you have insurance? Is it available for you? You know, those are other factors that go into, you know, how it affects your health. And so not just, oh, I have this pill. Can I afford it? Is it feasible for me to spend $10 on this medication, but I can't spend, you know, I can't find food? So it's between $10 on a medication or $10 on food. You know, it's those types of things that kind of affect health that we like to look at.
Well, as we mentioned, transportation, being able to get to a pharmacy to have the prescription filled or pick it up. I mean, if that's a struggle, then or costs money to do too, and you're already trying to decide between getting the prescription filled or spending on a much other needed thing, how are you going to then justify a cab ride to somewhere to go get it filled?
And, you know, transportation costs as well. And so can you even afford to get to the doctor's office if you have to pay for transportation, you know, to get to and from the doctor's office to even get the prescription? So what services or programs are available that can help decrease that cost on you so that you can go get, you know, the prescription from the doctor for something that you do need? And, you know, what else can we find that can help the communities with finding discounted services or ways that can make things regarding someone's health more affordable?
Yeah, outside of a very small few counties across the country, it's not like you can, you know, pull up Uber or Lyft on your phone and get a ride to the doctor's office. You know, it's just not an option for a lot of people. It's, yeah, I mean, transportation is something that, and I think there are varying levels, right? Like 30 minutes away from doctor's office, like people in rural areas, really, they're used to driving that far.
Yep.
Like it's not a big deal. Yeah, sure. You know, like 30 minutes, not a big deal. But when you get into some areas of our service region where you're in, you know, deep southern Illinois where, honey, you know, back up the car, we're going an hour and a half to the doctor. And, you know, if you have to take a day off from work, or if you are there and, you know, like happens, your doctor's appointment, you're 45 minutes behind, and say you're a farmer, then, you know, on down the line, well, somebody's got to, you know, tend to the farm. Well, what happens? You know, it's just a lot of these small problems that can pop up and, you know, things that we take for granted can really domino and kind of become a huge problem for a lot of people in these areas.
So if you guys could say there were some main takeaways for just a casual listener about social determinants of health, kind of what do you think the highlights, main takeaways would be?
I would say, you know, one, being aware. So I think a lot of people, again, like we've, you know, kind of echoed, it's so much more outside of the doctor's office. Like doctors are incredible. Medical providers in general do an incredible job. You know, just look at the life expectancy increases, people living longer, chronic diseases are more managed. But as, you know, the community has their own part of that, and that's more of the social determinants of health. Like the things that you have more control over, obviously if you can't afford some of these things, that's one problem. But if it's, you know, me making a choice for lunch, am I going to go to Taco Bell and, you know, get something, or am I going to go get a healthier option? Like, that's a choice I have to make, and it affects my health.
I think for an individual wanting to understand a little more about what social determinants of health actually do, I would say, you know, just look at your daily routine. I mean, look at the things that you do. If you go to a gas station and get, you know, soda or candy or chips or, you know, what have you for your snack, think about how you got to the gas station, what you're using to purchase, you know, the food or drinks that you're getting from the gas station. What type of products are you getting at the gas station? Do you see healthier options that are available that maybe you could select from instead? Or, you know, what type of community do you live in? So is there a grocery store that's nearby? You know, if you have your own vehicle and you're driving around, how much gas are you using? How much time does it take? You know, all of these little things kind of add up to, you know, what affects your health. So just on a daily basis, just think about, you know, I'm going to go to Taco Bell and eat lunch, you know, today. And, you know, that's going to affect my health because it's not necessarily the healthiest food per se. But is there a healthier option that I can do instead? Should I go to the grocery store and maybe just get some ingredients to make my own meal? Or, you know, what do I have at home that I can create a meal from instead of going out to eat? Or, you know, just little things like that can kind of make you more aware of what you're doing that's affecting your own health, and maybe give you a better idea of what other people have to struggle with. And, you know, you may have reliable transportation, and you may have a good job that pays you enough money to be able to live a full, you know, live a comfortable life, but not everybody has that same opportunity. So it's pretty much almost anything that you do in your life on a daily basis you can think about, and how it's, and just think about how it's going to affect your health and how it might affect somebody else's health in the same situation.
You know, first, I think that's two Taco Bell mentions now, so we got to be well on our way to a sponsorship for the podcast.
Right?
And then, two, one of the chilling, like, things I heard somebody say was a lot of rural seniors, and, you know, seniors in general, but in rural areas, it's, you know, a game of three, pick two. It's your medicine, your food, or a roof over your head. And a lot of seniors, you know, every day they're making that choice, or they're splitting their pills, like, very real situations and problems that people are facing. And like Christopher said, being aware of it and every decision you make, like, all contributing to your overall health.
And that is the conclusion of part two of our episode on the social determinants of health. In our next episode, TJ talks about his involvement with the Illinois Rural Health Summit and the takeaway and revelations from that. Please stay tuned to Sound Inquiry, and thank you for listening.